This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open for the early deadline of December 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
I think the best thing about pie is that it is shareable.
Our first step in our cranberry tiramisu is making the cranberry sauce.
An apple tart, but we're gonna make it in the shape of a rose, and we're gonna make an almond paste filling to go inside.
I really love a butterscotch pudding, and I wanted to infuse it with the flavors of Thanksgiving, so I added pumpkin.
Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Stick around for a breakdown of the day's top local news stories later on in the podcast. But first, Turkey Day. It's fast approaching. And to get tips on dazzling your loved ones with tasty treats, we sat down with a home baker and recipe developer. Before we get to that conversation, though, I want to give you a sense of what the In the Loop team is going to be munching on. So I'm here with In the Loop producer Linnea Dominic and engineer Ethan Schwab. Hi, folks. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hey, Sash.
I'm already thinking about food. I know you are too.
All day, every day.
Yep. Yes.
But guess what? We've got a chef, a professional chef living in our home who is sick. He's sick this week.
Tragic.
What am I going to do? Does that mean I have to cook now?
It might. Have you cooked a turkey before?
Like I have never done a turkey. I'm pro at all the sides. So I can get all the other things done. But I'm like, am I going to have to do the bird?
That seems a bit selfish. You maybe should have waited until after the holiday.
Right. Like, how can you get sick now? Yeah. So I'm definitely going to try to make sure I revive him in the next 24 hours.
Yeah. Sure. Here's some tea, babe. Here's some cough drops.
Yeah. But what are you guys making? Ethan, what's on your menu?
So I'm going to a Friendsgiving.
Nice.
A couple of my friends are hosting, and they'll be doing all the main course stuff. I'm planning on arriving early afternoon with an appetizer of sorts. I'm thinking about a dip.
Ooh.
I have a friend making some focaccia.
What kind of dip?
So I'm going to do this squash feta spread sort of deal. I don't really know. I saw something on Instagram and I can't find the recipe again. So I'm just going to kind of wing it.
You're just going to make it up.
You know? Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, Linnea, are you out there making pies again this year?
Oh, are you referring to my epic pie fail from last year?
I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up, but if you want to go there, sure.
So I didn't follow my mom's golden rule. Mm. Her rule was always, if you're going to make a dish for anyone besides yourself, you need to try the recipe first.
Yes.
Sound advice.
Golden rule number one is to listen to your mom.
That's right. I didn't last year. And I made what I thought was going to be a delicious tamarind pie. I made a graham cracker crust. I made a tamarind custard.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't set. Hours in the oven. I'm telling you, like an hour and a half.
Oh, dear.
I put it in the freezer.
Because that's the fix, right?
I was like, maybe if it freezes, it will set and gel. It didn't.
Didn't
it was gloopy and was flat.
So this year?
So this year I'm sticking with savory. I'm making a green bean casserole.
Safe.
You're making a casserole?
I'm making a green bean casserole.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. I will enjoy that. And then whatever dip you come up with, Ethan, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you guys bring some of the leftovers next week when we're back at work.
Sounds good. Yeah. And you'll have to let us know how it goes cooking that bird.
I am going to revive that man. Tell me every kind of cold remedy you have because I'm going to need it. All right, let's get to the conversation. Our thanks to Linnea Dominic and Ethan Schwab.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day.
Enjoy your meal.
We talked with Martin Sorge, who's a home baker and recipe developer, also winner of the sixth season of the Great American Baking Show. And we start with how he decides what to make for the holidays.
First, I think of how many folks are coming. And then because baking is my creative outlet. I'm the person who wants to try something new or bring something different to the table. So I think a few weeks earlier, like, ooh, what's inspiring me this year? What's a different little twist on the classic that still hits the traditions that people like and some of those flavor notes, but just changes maybe the spices or the shape or the vehicle for that flavor?
I see. Well, now I'm going to get all in your business. What is inspiring you this year?
Ooh, this year I'm really inspired by tarts. So I'm thinking usually we have pie, but you have a big meal. So maybe a tart, just a thinner version of the pie and other really bright, refreshing flavors. So I just developed this apple crumble tart, but instead of cinnamon in the filling, I reduced down 2 cups of Riesling wine from Michigan that gives it this really crisp, refreshing quality. That's a really nice change of pace from the cinnamon and nutmeg spices that you usually have.
Oh my goodness. You are already, my mouth is watering already. And I don't want to make it sound like, no pie slander will be
never
tolerated here. I'm not a pie hater. I absolutely love pie. I am not big on pumpkin or sweet potato, to be honest. I'm an apple pie guy. I know you're shocked. I'm an apple pie girly. I like fruit pies. Fruity pies. That's fine too, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that fruit pies are really great because they're usually bright and refreshing. And after that big, luxurious meal, I think you need something tangy and bright to really cleanse your palate and kind of lift your spirits. So especially this year, I'm thinking like, what tangy flavors can you bring to the table? Whether that's apples or lots of ginger that makes it kind of spicy, or really leaning into things like cranberry, which are bright and tart.
Well, speaking of tart, let's just do it. Let's dig in. What is this? You've brought a pepita tart for
us? Yes. So this is a maple, honey, and pepita tart with a little bit of bourbon in there to brighten it up. With a whole wheat short crust. And this is actually the exact same version of my pecan tart that I usually make.
Yes.
But my sister-in-law, who's coming to Thanksgiving, can't have nuts. She's allergic to nuts. So I thought, what about swapping pumpkin seeds? You know, we make pumpkin pie. Just make sure you deeply toast your pumpkin seeds or pepitas before putting them in the tart. But, you know, pecan pie is really sweet, and this has that same filling. And making it thin, I think, gives you the right balance of, like, crust and nuts.
Martin, you are on to something. First of all, I'm already digging in. You keep talking, but I'm going to keep eating. This, it complements it so well. The pumpkin seeds work really well. So I think you took your own advice there with the toasting.
Yeah, you have to toast it. Add a good amount of salt to it, too, because all that sweetness, you need that salt to balance it. And then I really think that a tablespoon or two of bourbon is not optional, because that kind of warmth from the alcohol actually makes it taste a little bit less sweet. I've made one with and without, and I like it with just a tablespoon of bourbon or any other whiskey you have sitting around. Really brightens up the flavor a little bit.
Well, that's what's hitting me. It's the bourbon. That's the secret. So I admire your creativity, because you really just you come up with anything and it works. How do you know that flavors are going to work together?
You have to experience, but you also have to think, okay, so for this one, pecans and pepitas, they're similar flavors. So that's going to work.
I would never have put that together.
Yeah. So any kind of nut you can swap out maybe for a seed or... my apple and Riesling tart, if you ever have a really great bottle of Michigan Riesling, it has that tart, bright, juicy, almost apple-y fruit note. And I said, hey, this will be really great in the filling of an apple pie. And it really just sings. So think of what flavors work well together, and or a spice that you might really like, or something you might think is fun together, or that's maybe paired in a different dish. Or just try something wacky, and once in a while it works, and once in a while it doesn't.
Yeah. Would you put ice cream with something like this?
I'll put ice cream with anything. I think that actually ice cream or sorbet is a perfect Thanksgiving dessert with a pie, or even on its own, something like a cranberry sorbet or a pear and ginger sorbet. Sometimes you just want a little something sweet, but not something heavy or even creamy. And so a dairy-free sorbet, to me, just like... sounds so good. Or with this, I think like some spicy ginger ice cream would be really lovely.
I didn't realize how much I wasn't thinking outside the box when it comes to ice cream, because I just thought everyone paired every pie or every dessert with French vanilla or vanilla.
Mm-hmm. Or cinnamon ice cream with apple pie.
Cinnamon.
Or, yeah, I mean, it's endless. I actually think this would be nice with chocolate, like a light milk chocolate ice cream. Because, you know, you have some of those pecan pies with chocolate on the bottom. I mean, chocolate's good any time of the year, too. So that's what I always think. Like,
I'm in
maybe
heaven
just
right
a
now.
A scoop of chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, no, you lost me at cinnamon. Cinnamon ice cream with apple pie. I want to go back to talking about fruits because I just love them. Desserts with fruits. Mm. What else are you loving right now? So we talked about apples. What else? Pears? Are you?
Yeah, so I really like pears. They're really mild, so they really take well to you can poach them in wine with spices. Mm-hmm. Even just a simple poached pear with some ice cream is a great, really light dessert. But think of the other fruits that are in season. So things like persimmons, pomegranate. One of my favorite fruit is quince, which is a relative of an apple and pear, but it's very aromatic. You poach it for a long time and the flesh turns from kind of a creamy white to this dark pink, almost red color. And even just a piece of poached quince with some ice cream or adding some poached quince to a pie or a tart really will surprise your guests.
Oh, and that's
then lovely. Even thinking about other flavors you might not associate with the holiday. So something like a lemon tart.
So citrus.
Yeah, because again, it brightens up the flavor. I think citrus is always on the table. But like a lemon tart or an orange curd tart, just, you know, think of bright and fresh. But there's always so many different fruits you can use. Even this might sound controversial, but the classic Midwestern tart cherry pie for Thanksgiving. I mean, I'll eat cherry pie anytime.
Wait, why is that controversial? Let me
in. I think because it's apple pie, pumpkin pie.
Oh, okay.
You bring a cherry pie and some people are like, wait, what's going on here? But I think cherry pie.
I thought it was a Midwest thing that I just didn't know about.
No, I think, you know, with Thanksgiving or any holiday, traditions are so baked in, especially if you make pie once a year, that's the apple pie you make every Thanksgiving. So sometimes pushing people to try something new can be a little tough. But I think, especially because tart cherries, which are the perfect cherries to make pie with, they're only in season for 2 weeks a year, so frozen tart cherries work just as well as fresh ones. So you may as well make a cherry pie with the tart cherries in your freezer from the grocery during Thanksgiving if you want to change up the fruit. And it's a good one. You can make the filling and crust ahead of time.
Right.
And it's really quick to bake.
You make it sound so easy. You may as well make a cherry pie. What do I hear? You're making something with white chocolate?
Ooh, so I really think that like a white chocolate mousse with some cranberry swirled into it, to me, sounds like a really easy make ahead. Again, light, refreshing, and fluffy dessert. I just think that like kind of light sweetness with that tanginess, to me, I'm like, ooh, this needs to happen.
Are you doing that this year?
I'm going to try to, yeah.
Oh, lovely. Talk more about ways that alcohol can enhance dessert. So we talked about bourbon, which is in this pepita tart that we just ate.
So baking with alcohol or booze actually lightens up the flavor. So you don't want it to taste too alcoholic, but a little bit of that booziness can really lighten a dessert up. It can also add some flavor. So bourbon's that really like warming, comforting fall flavor. But I used to work in the wine business, so I love cooking with wine. So, you know, poaching pears in red wine with some spices or white wine, even with some spices like ginger, reducing down some wine to add into a dessert.
Fabulous.
And then things like apple brandy, Calvados is a really good, a splash of that in your apple pie will just send it through the roof. Or kirsch, which is a cherry liqueur in some cherry pie, will also kind of enhance that cherryness. And you'll just wonder, like, why is this a little bit better?
Well, it's the, how do you say it? Kirsch.
Yes.
All together now.
Kirsch.
Okay, so I know that there are people listening right now and they're stressed, Martin. They're stressed. There's 2 days to go. They still have work, you know, in between. They still have to do things with the kids. Not a lot of like kitchen time. So give us those last minute ideas, just something quick. Anything else that comes to mind for you that just you can just turn it around fast?
Yeah, another baker friend yesterday mentioned this as a great idea for a store-bought Thanksgiving dessert is baklava. So think about pecan pie and that nuttiness. And I thought, ooh, a little piece of baklava after Thanksgiving dinner would be delicious.
So there's no shame in the store-bought game.
Never.
Great.
And especially, we have so many wonderful local bakeries across the Chicagoland area. Call them, see if they still have any pies or even cookies or little desserts that you can go buy because that is wonderful. Don't stress yourself out. Also, something like a Rice Krispie treat, add some cinnamon to it, fold in some toasted pecans, because everyone loves a Rice Krispie treat.
That's right. That's such a good one. I'm stealing that. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I even think about the fact of, you know, you can have a really simple dessert, but you may just want to make it fancy. So even something as simple as the Rice Krispie treat that you just talked about, is there a way to present some of these or garnish that just lifts it, elevates it, brings it from one level to the next?
Yeah, sprinkle some toasted nuts on it. Always a sprinkle of flaky sea salt, like on this pepita tart I brought.
Yes.
It makes it, now it feels special. So think of something that's special for the holidays, whether that is a dusting of spices or powdered sugar even. It's so simple, but it's like, ooh, that makes it so cozy and special.
Perfect. Martin Sorge is winner of the 6th season of the Great American Baking Show. Martin's also developing a book that I need you to look out for. It's going to publish sometime next year, right?
Yes, late next summer, early next fall, my first book, and I'm super excited. It's very Midwestern, very classic.
Yes, we're excited for you. Martin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Okay, now let's break down the top local stories of the day. At the table, WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane and Chicago Sun-Times government and politics reporter Mitchell Armantrout. 2 days in a row, we're going to start with sad news, Claire. And I'm looking at you first because this is all about Chicago radio today. Yeah, end of an era.
An icon, really, sort of from the heyday of, you know, when I listened to a lot of radio, driving in your car, commuting. It was radio personality, was on B96 for many years. Mm-hmm. Joe Colburn, also known as Jobo, from the duo Eddie and Jobo, has died. He was 70 years old, no cause of death yet. WGN reports he was found in his home in Freeport, just outside of Rockford. Mm-hmm. On Monday, and his co-host Eddie told GN that Heaven gained a golden voice. But, you know, he was also on for a brief stint, the duo on 104.3 K Hits, now the Jams. They were pranksters, you know what I mean? They invited their audience really in. They called their audience the world's most dangerous audience. They had these really hilarious commercials, United Auto Insurance. I'm sure you've seen those, Mitch. A lot of street man on the street style bits. But yeah, just a sad day for Chicago
duo.
Radio.
Yeah, sad news. He was at B96 for almost 20 years. Mitch, any memories of Eddie and Jobo?
Oh, yeah. He was Eddie and Jobo. They were the guys on the radio when I was coming up, you know, in junior high. That was kind of like when I was first getting into music and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, I remember like recording some of the hits back in the day on my boombox.
Me too, with Jobo. The tape.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace, Joe Colborn. Now, Mitch, I know that you had done some reporting on this fatal shooting in the Loop on Friday. There were two shootings. One happened to kill a teen. Tell us what's going on now.
So this was just a few hours after the Christmas tree lighting downtown on Friday. You know, there were thousands of people coming downtown. It's a huge event. The mayor said there were about 20,000 people who were estimated to be there, including the mayor himself. And, you know, this comes down to another one of these teen takeover events that we find ourselves talking about mm-hmm. so often. It's more of a summertime occurrence. But this is an event that loosely organized, just kind of word of mouth on social media among kids in high school. You know, And this, a few hours after that, basically just kind of random sort of, you know, kids running around, fights breaking out. There was all kinds of video on social media of folks being robbed and just all kinds of chaos. And in a couple instances, at least, gunfire broke out. Once that happened right outside the Chicago Theater, another a few blocks away near Federal Plaza, that first shooting, 7 kids were grazed or hit in the leg, but Armani Floyd, a 14-year-old, was killed in the second shooting, which happened on Dearborn Street. So this, again, is just raising all kinds of the controversy that we've talked about, even as recently as this past summer, as far as just how to deal with, you know, these large groups of kids who come downtown looking for something to do, and trouble just kind of seems to follow.
Right. A high school kid lost his life at the end of this, right? And so folks gathered last night in Grand Crossing for a vigil for young Armani, and some political talk coming back about the curfews, right? As we talk about teen takeovers, you remember when there was a lot of debate about what we should do in terms of getting these kids off the streets, or, you know, taming these gatherings in some way, shape, or form. So lots of people sort of coming up with more ideas, saying, pointing to this as sort of a C, this is what can happen when these things go unchecked.
Right. Downtown Alderman Brian Hopkins, he was really the proponent of this snap curfew idea, which basically would allow police to call a curfew within 30 minutes with the goal of kind of clearing the streets. And this measure actually passed the council over the summer, but Mayor Johnson vetoed that. It was a very rare Chicago mayoral veto, the first in several decades at least. You know, Mayor Johnson has really pushed the idea of creating more opportunities, jobs, activities for in parts of the city where there just aren't a lot of resources on the south and west sides, just basically to create outlets for kids to do other things and cause havoc downtown. Again, this is it's going to come before the council again. You can only imagine. Alderman Hopkins says that that's something he wants present again. There's another idea from Alderman William Hall from the South Side to basically fine social media companies for not taking down posts advertising these teen takeovers. Unclear how that could be enforced, but we'll see where the discussion takes it.
Meantime, there is up to $15,000 being offered now as a reward for any information in this teen's shooting death. All right, Claire, health experts are saying Chicago is expected to have a worse flu season this year. Say it ain't so.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is true. Officials also say the Chicago area already seeing more hospitalizations because of the flu than normal for this early in the virus season. So they're expecting the season to be longer. They're also expecting it to be worse, as you mentioned. There are a few reasons why. So according to a local doctor at U of Chicago, there was a pretty significant, what they're calling an antigenic drift through the Southern Hemisphere's winter, meaning the vaccine that was created sort of changed throughout the season to evade immunity. So it became kind of tricky. So because of that, we're facing down a virus that is different than what we have in the vaccine itself, which isn't totally uncommon, but it sounds like this shift is pretty drastic. And that the flu strains that we're already seeing that are starting to circulate already, they're less common than, you know, the traditional flu. So we haven't seen these viruses as much as we've seen in the past. So
that's just what we needed right
less
now.
Less natural immunity, which is great for us, especially as we're starting to gather. But we remember COVID, so we know what to do.
We've know got what all to that do. Good practices. Pocket. Wash your hands more. Cover your coughs and your sneezes.
Mask up.
Wear a mask. Avoid contact with people who are sick. Or if you are sick, go away.
More sanitizer.
Yes. Residents at that South Shore building, Mitch, where you'll remember federal agents conducted that militarized raid a couple months ago. Now, the tenants still there. They said, hey, we're still here. Let's not forget that. And they're forming a tenants union.
Right. Yeah. They held a big press conference yesterday morning outside 7500 South Shore. And yeah, that's where this sort of like scene out of Call of Duty happened a couple months back with Greg Bovino rappelling down from a helicopter.
And the hype video that followed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. They've really gotten a lot of play out of these scenes. And they arrested 37 people. But as from the looks of it, none of those charges are really sticking. It was allegedly an operation to root out Tren de Agua, violent gang members. We've not seen any evidence that actually happened. All the while, there's 36 people who still live there. There were troubles at this building for years leading up to the raid. And earlier this month, a judge basically put the management of the building into an independent outside company. And the CHA is also involved, the Chicago Housing Authority. Mm-hmm. And basically what tenants are saying is they just want to, before they're vacated from this building, which they are kind of in that process, they want this new management company and the CHA to provide housing vouchers just to help cover relocation expenses. And
that
really
building's
just,
in terrible shape.
And just bring it up to, to basic code, like get heat and electricity in there. There's open standing water in parts of it.
Pests.
These are just issues that have kind of been log standing.
A dead cat wrapped in a blanket.
Not really livable conditions for anyone.
Yeah.
They're trying to take a stand here.
Looks like Montrose Pier's closed, Claire. What's going on?
Well, it's because of nature, which tends to happen at Montrose. There's a bird sanctuary there. Birds just happen to like it. And birders happen to go there looking for creatures. And they spotted some snowy owls. This was last week, sort of went kind of viral, images of these two birds. It's a pair of snowy owls. And they are very visually striking. So naturally, Chicago birders sort of flock there. Large crowds gathered on Saturday. And so the park district is limiting access to Montrose Pier to protect the owls who have settled nearby. And they're still there, as far as we know today. So these owls are not rare in Chicago. We talked about this a bit yesterday. We just really never know how, you know, what their frequency is going to be. So they're here. We don't know how long they're going to be here. They're here a little early.
We're enjoying the view.
And it's just sort of a fun little reminder that there is nature here in Chicago.
Absolutely. Something else we talked about yesterday is the fact that there's going to be a lot of Thanksgiving travel this week, Claire. I think you said today is the day where most people are hitting the road. But the National Weather Service has a warning for us. This is regarding post-Thanksgiving travel.
Yeah, we should note, too, that the airports are expecting Sunday to be the busiest, both at O'Hare as well as Midway. And O'Hare is actually anticipating the most travelers in its 70-year history this Thanksgiving travel period. And so what we're seeing from the Weather Service might impact flight delays, potential cancellations, and slickness across your expressways and your tollways. National Weather Service has warnings for this post-Thanksgiving travel period for the Midwest, and Chicago could see dangerous road conditions, accumulating snow, blowing snow. This is potentially late Thursday with possible sleet. We love that freezing rain. but we might get a little bit of that sleet, that light snow tonight. Not really going to stick. It's just going to be cold.
You're just full of good news today, aren't you, Claire?
But if you're waiting to travel or you're not traveling till Saturday is when we're expected to potentially see some of the more wintry of the winter weather. So get out of town now if you can.
Good advice. Anything else you're watching?
This morning, just the snowy owls have been so cool. And I would advise anybody to check out our website, wbez.org, for more info and some photos of those guys.
All right. Well, Mitch, let's dig into a story that you dropped today. It's a big one. It's apparently the amount of unpaid bills to the city of Chicago are up. That's kind of the gist I got there. But give us the details.
Right. So my colleague Tim Novak and I kind of dug into this a couple of years ago first. We're curious just the idea of all the bills and fines, parking tickets, red light violations, building inspection fees that have gone unpaid over the years. Found out that number was around $7 billion back in 2023. So we decided to check back in and see how the city's been doing since then, if that number's gotten any better, or if they've gotten any better at collecting those fines. And it looks like that is probably not the case. That number is now sitting around $8.2 billion. That is an increase of about $1 billion compared to early in Brandon Johnson's term, which is roughly the amount of the deficit he's facing in his budget proposal.
Yeah, it's another tough budget year. That's the first thing my mind went to. So I think an extra billion could come in handy here.
It sure would. Yeah, I mean, this is not a new problem for the city, obviously. Like, a lot of these debts go back to Richard M. Daley's first term. I mean, so many of these are just costs that are never going to be recovered. But we talked to the new city comptroller, Mike Belsky, about this. He says that they've got some new tech-driven approaches to try and get at more of those dollars, targeting folks from higher-income zip codes when it comes to some of these traffic tickets to, you know, basically go for people who they know can pay these things. That's really the big issue. And out of that $8 billion figure that hasn't been collected, he thinks that about $3 billion of that is realistically you know, possible to be collected. And those are the deaths that have piled up in the last 3 years or so.
Wow.
So again, this is some of that in theory could be low hanging fruit for the city to try and get some more money in such cash strapped times. Things are not getting any easier for the budget, certainly not in the weeks ahead or in the years ahead under the Trump administration with federal funding uncertainties. So any dollar would help at this point.
Any dollar would help. Folks, there's a great breakdown. Mitch's story is online at suntimes.com. He co-bylined this with Tim Novak. Our thanks to Mitchell Armantrout from the Sun-Times and WBEZ's Claire Lane.
This episode of the In the Loop podcast was produced by me, Linnea Dominic, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.